Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text for today's sermon comes out of Acts chapter 6, the first seven verses, which read, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." You know, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, God knows the plans that he has for his people. They are good and they are gracious plans. Last Sunday, we heard that the Lord revealed his plans for the temple, the place where God would dwell with his people. And there in the temple, God would speak with his people, God would receive the prayers of his people and their offerings, and most importantly, God would forgive people their sins from that place. The plans for constructing the temple were carried out by Solomon, King David's son. God blessed the plans that he had for his space, and he was pleased to dwell with his people, foreshadowing what was still to come in Christ Jesus. God had plans for his people as well, particularly when it comes to raising up those from among his people to serve others. Consider Noah, called by God to build an ark and to warn about the flood that was to come. Consider Abraham, called to be a blessing to the nations. Consider Moses, called to lead the Israelites out of Egypt to the promised land. Well, the list goes on. The judges were called by God to lead the people. The prophets were called by God to speak to the people God's word. All of these were pointing to God's plan of calling Jesus the Christ, the one in whom all God's plans are fulfilled. So it should be no surprise then that Jesus calls others to be his disciples and to follow after him. Jesus authorizes and sends these men as apostles to preach and to teach what he has commanded, to baptize in the name of the triune God, to celebrate the supper that was instituted on the night of Jesus' betrayal. This is God's plan for proclaiming Christ among the nations and calling sinners to repentance so that they may find salvation in Jesus alone. The amazing thing is that God plans to do that through people. People like Peter, James, and John, and eventually, yes, even you and me. See, God doesn't seem to choose those who have all their ducks in a row, their lives neat and tidy, those who seem to have it all, but he seems to call those whom you and I would not choose. Maybe another way to say it is that God does not call the equipped. Rather, God equips those he calls. Our text from Acts 6 gives us another example of us. The church was growing as the Lord planned, through the faithful preaching of the word and through the caring of others. But see, a problem arose. People were being overlooked. Specifically, the widows who spoke Greek were being overlooked by the Jewish-speaking apostles and the believers. There was a need that was not being met by the apostles. Now, this doesn't mean that they didn't care. In fact, when the complaint came to their attention, they sought to find a God-pleasing solution. While the apostles understood that their primary responsibility was to preach the word and to administer the sacraments, They knew that they needed help to care for the physical needs of the widows. And so the apostles, they called everyone together, and they had their first congregational voters meeting. Pick 7 good men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, so that they may serve the widows with care and compassion as Christ has done for us all. These 7 men were prayed for and were authorized by the apostles to carry out the important ministry of caring for the widows. They were commissioned for service. And so from that point on, the church now had a staff. Apostles and deacons were those who were devoted to service, each one playing a different but an important role in the congregation. The apostles cared for the souls, and the deacons cared for the body. God had a plan. These men were called to serve. But they were also, at the same time, called to witness to the power of Christ and his resurrection. Now, out of these 7 men, we only hear about 2 of them in their service and in their witness in the book of Acts. We hear about Stephen. As he is serving, he then has the opportunity to witness concerning the Christ. And he, of course, suffers as the first martyr because of it. Philip also serves, but is given the opportunity to witness to an Ethiopian eunuch, an important government official who is baptized and who then returns to Ethiopia to share the good news of Jesus in his country. See, even though they were tasked with the service of waiting on tables, they were at the same time witnesses for the Lord. This is God's plan. This is the way that God orders his church. You know, St. Paul makes a comparison to the body. He says, Christ Jesus is the head of the body, and the rest, you and me, are various parts of his body, working in unity with one another to make Christ known. Some are hands that serve, some are lips that speak, some are feet that go, but not everyone is everything. Which means, contrary to popular opinion, you can't do it all yourself, nor should you try. And just as importantly, one part is not more important than another. All have value as they are members of Christ. Not all are hands, eyes, etc., but each are given a part to play, a vocation to fulfill. And in these vocations, all Christians, regardless of their vocation, are witnesses. Now, as part of Faith's strategic ministry plan, we're focusing on God's plan for staffing. But that doesn't mean that you don't have a role to play, a vocation to fulfill. For you are part of the body. You are witnesses of what Christ has done on the cross and in the resurrection. You have been uniquely formed in your mother's womb, given certain gifts by the Creator to point others to him. He has called you to be his very own. He has made your body a temple of the Holy Spirit, and as such, he has made you part of his body in baptism. He feeds you with his body and blood so that you have the strength to do what he has called you to do, fulfilling your vocations as mothers and fathers, as wives and husbands, married or single, sons or daughters. You are all God's people with meaningful work to do. Now, what about staffing here at Faith? What is God's plan for those who make a living out of serving God's people in this place? Well, let me give you a little snapshot of where we are and how we got here. 2012-13 marked the beginning of a huge transition here at Faith. Pastor Mitchell retired after 25 years as the faithful senior pastor. In the years that followed, the Holy Spirit working through the people of Faith, that is you, called a senior pastor, an associate pastor, and a mission and outreach pastor to the Chinese. And if that's not enough, Joan Berdeman, the creator and director of the preschool and childcare ministry, retired, and Rachel Stoltz has taken up the position of director. Robert Cruz, our cantor of 5 years, was succeeded by now Dr. Gabriel to lead the congregation in the choirs and in music and song. Deb and Diane in the office were succeeded by Janet and Deanne. And Deanne has taken up the growing title of business manager after Sybil Cole had stepped down after a year of service then by Amanda Jones. In addition to these faithful servants of God's people whom we've just named, there are additional 34 faithful staff who work solely with the preschool and the childcare to carry out the ministry on behalf of this congregation. All total, there are currently 43 people employed by faith who are also at the same time witnesses of Christ Jesus here in this place. And I believe each one has been put here by God. It's by His plan that they and I are here to serve His people. Thanks be to God. But what about looking forward? In our text, there were people grumbling because one group felt that another group was being overlooked. Now, in our congregation, I haven't heard outright grumbling, but there's some concern that some people might be overlooked. Now, perhaps the Lord will call and equip others for service in this place. A director of Christian education, perhaps, that's been suggested, not only for the youth, but to assist with the education throughout the congregation. Maybe a building facilities manager for the regular maintenance and the care of our growing and our aging facility. Additional help in the office? What about missions and outreach? What about a vicar? Not only for these positions, but what about our positions or our opportunities to serve? For the willingness of faith members to give, exercising the gifts that the Lord has given. Needs for a new generation of leaders to head up the Christian Living Resource Center. What about the archives of our congregation? What about the various boards and ministry teams that make up the work of the congregation? And unless we forget the ever-pressing need for Sunday school teachers. See, God has plans for this congregation, for professional staff, but His plans always include you. For you are part of His plan to make Christ known through this congregation and in your lives and in your vocations outside of this place. He has given you gifts to be used in service for others here, and He has made you witnesses of His grace and mercy shown in Christ. You know, you might not think of yourselves in this way, but I tell you the truth. Right now, I am looking at Faith Lutheran Church's evangelism and outreach team. You know that? I'm looking at you right now. Every single one of you. You're all witnesses because you are in Christ. And so then, in each of you in your vocations are God's means of making His good news known. And I guess to just kind of formalize this morning and put the stamp of approval on it, I want to commission you as such, right? To commission you as service, as Faith's outreach and evangelism team. Are you ready? You are now commissioned to give witness to Christ in your vocations. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen, you are authorized. But you probably don't feel equipped for this call, do you? I hear that over and over. I don't know how to talk to so-and-so. I don't have the training. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have. But see, you do. By and large, Lutheran Christians are the most thoroughly catechized Christians around. You attend service, Bible studies, and Sunday school. You know more than what you know. This congregation's no different. But to further encourage you in your calling, to equip you in your calling, this year we're going to participate in a training available to the whole congregation. It's called Everyone is Witness. Everyone is Witness focuses on simple but effective ways in which you, Faith's newly commissioned outreach and evangelism team, can bring up or tie into conversations with those whom you're closest to. This is going to be the focus of our January congregational summit. But until that time, here's the best training that you can receive. It's simple. Continue to hear God's word in this place. Be fed by Christ in word and in the sacrament in this place. Pray for those whom you know and those whom you will meet. For the Lord has called you to be part of his body and has given you a part to play. You're his because he called you. You're a baptized child of God, washed of your sin, given a new heart so that in you and through you, Christ would be made known. You know, as you're looking through your time and talent material this week, I want to draw your attention to the first page in that pink booklet. The first thing that you can do in this congregation after putting your name and your contact information down is this. Number one, regular worship and reception of Holy Communion. There's a reason why that is number one. You have to first receive before you can give. Let me remind you of a few key verses. Jesus said in John 15, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And the Apostle John echoes this when he writes in 1 John 4, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." From the cross, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But the Apostle Paul echoes this as he writes in Ephesians chapter 4, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." And then again in Colossians 3, "Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Jesus said in Mark 10, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Apostle Peter echoes this as he writes in 1 Peter 4, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." You are loved, you are forgiven, you have and you continue to be served by the Lord as he gives to you the fruits of the tree of the cross. If you do nothing else, be in this place to be loved, to be forgiven, and to be served. And as you are, the Lord will open opportunities for you to love, to forgive, and to serve. In your homes, in this congregation, in this community, wherever the Lord sets your two feet. As for this place, this congregation, God has plans for the staff. God will continue to lead and to guide us as we see places where there are needs that are not being met. God will provide the right staff at the right time for the purpose of his kingdom. He did with the early church. He has in the history of faith congregation. And we trust that he will continue to do so even until the very end of the age. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our God. Amen.